Be reading Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 17. For you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
As we stand at the end of one year's trail, and with the new year beckoning, urging us forward into unknown, uncharted territory, how better could we spend our time, how better could we spend this day than in coming together to worship together as we're doing this morning. So happy to see all of you here, and we are especially pleased, blessed, graced by the presence of our visitors. Please know we're glad you're here. And if you're watching from the ether, from areas unknown and online, we're glad you're watching. We're glad you're a part of this service in your own way. We hope that very soon you can be with us in person. And I'll remind you that I'm sure this will be mentioned later in the announcements, but this evening we're doing things not just a bit differently, but completely differently than is our usual case from week to week. Once a year, the last Sunday evening of the year, it is traditional that a few congregations get together at one place and spend the worship hour in singing praises to God. Every 3 years, we're here at Midtown doing just that. Tonight won't be one of those times. Tonight, we're going to the Crosstown Church of Christ, just a bit away from here, and we hope to see you there. In fact, we'd like to see all of you there as part of that combined service of singing this evening, 5 o'clock at the Crosstown Church of Christ building. Hope to see you there. But as we've said, we're right here at the cusp of a new year's beginning. And it seems like this time of year, between Christmas that just passed and New Year's, which is just almost here, we're always thinking of starting, beginning, revamping, redoing, perhaps even making resolutions to ourselves that if we're truthful in time past, we haven't been that good at keeping up with. But the idea is all about new beginnings. The reason for that, not just at this time of year, but for that philosophy of life itself, is because of the way God made us. God made us with the wonderful ability to make up our own minds from day to day about big choices and small decisions, things that matter most and things that don't matter at all. And as we make those decisions going through life, we don't always make the best decisions. You're probably here this morning, and you can probably say, if you're honest, I haven't always made, in every case, the best choices in my life. And because of that, God has given us opportunity, as long as we still have life in our bodies and breath in our lungs and a mind to consider matters, He's given us this wonderful opportunity of starting over again, starting anew, especially in terms of our spiritual life as we come into Christ and enjoy what the Bible refers to as a new birth, as we in Christ become a new creation. The wonderful imagery of that speaks to this idea of starting over again. Out with the old and in with the new. You might recall in John chapter 3, Jesus is there speaking with a man that would seem, at least from credentials standpoint, a lot more knowledge than Jesus would have, having had no schooling in the matter. And yet Nicodemus realizes very quickly that he knows much less than Jesus does. And Jesus lets Nicodemus, this ruler of the Jews, know that everybody needs to be born again. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Born of water and of the Spirit. And later on, Paul reflects upon that by saying in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the wonderful story of Bible conversion, of gospel salvation, the idea that someone, regardless of past mistakes, regardless of past sins, can put them aside, put them away, have them completely forgotten by God, and start all over again as if the past didn't exist. Start all over again and create not just a different life, not just a better life, but to create a new life in Christ. Now, that's why the gospel is the gospel. That's why it's good news, because there it is. That good news for everybody, all of us, that in Christ we can start all over again in gospel obedience. And I pray that's been your situation already this morning, that you have obeyed the gospel. But if not, there is no time like today, no time like the present, to become a Christian. And it doesn't matter the past. What matters is your decision going forward. A lot of people consider becoming a Christian and they think, well, it's for other people, not me. It's for people better than me, not me. It's for those with a better background, not mine. It's for those with less sins and not those I've committed. But the Bible says, no, whoever you are, whatever your background, whatever your sin, there is forgiveness in Christ. And there is the promise of putting all the past behind, away, and outside of reality, and moving forward into a new direction, into a new life in Christ. I know that's possible because the first Christians who became Christians came back from a lot more than you've dealt with. Do you remember there on Pentecost Day, as Luke records it in the second chapter of Acts? There on that day when you have, as the Bible says, Jews from every nation under heaven gathered to celebrate the festival of Pentecost. They're gathered there together in the temple area, and something has happened just a few days before. A man named Jesus who had lived among them, who had taught many things, who had healed many of the sick, the infirm, the diseased, the demon-plagued, who had even raised the dead. This Jesus, by their own wicked hands, had been slain. Those are Luke's words as he records the preaching of Peter. They had been guilty of killing Christ. They were the ones, many of them, when given the choice, do I release, Pilate said, Barabbas, a known murderer, or do I release to you Jesus the Christ? Release Barabbas. What do I do with Jesus? Pilate asked. And they say, crucify him. And that's exactly what happened. He was crucified. Because of, at the very least, the silence, at worst, the complete cooperation and insistence of the Jewish people of that day and that place. And so here they are, condemned and convicted, with seemingly no hope for them. And Peter sums it up by saying, let the whole house of Israel know, assuredly, the God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they cried out to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter tells them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It goes on to say, that second chapter of Acts, that those who gladly received his word were baptized. And there were added unto them that same day about 3,000 souls. 3,000 new beginnings, many of which had been guilty, so guilty with bloody hands of crucifying Jesus the Christ. But now, because of God's mercy and grace, because of Christ's blood and sacrifice, the gospel is presented. They have good news shown to them. They gladly receive this word, and they are baptized, and the past is forgotten. Their sins are blotted out. And now they start a brand new life in Christ, as if what had happened had never happened. There weren't two classes of Christians back in the New Testament era, those who had nothing to do with Jesus' death and those who did. There was just one class of Christian, those saved, those whose sins were washed, those who were made righteous by Christ's righteousness. If they could have a new beginning in baptism, at salvation, because of God's grace, could anything less be said of any of us? Now, I haven't been perfect in my life, but I've never done what they did. But it doesn't matter what they did, or what I've done, or what you've done. The blood of Christ has power to wash sin away, period. Regardless of the sin, how long it's been committed, regardless of sin, how ugly the stain is, regardless of sin, how it hurts families and cultures and individuals, regardless, the blood of Christ has power to wash all sins away in baptism. No wonder this is referred to as being born again. No wonder those thus saved are referred to as new creatures. Because, yes, all things are passed away. Everything has become new. Now, what I've just said, I think most all of you already know and agree with me about. You might be thinking, I wish more people in the world today would just do that. They'd just leave their sins behind, repent of them, turn their life over to Christ in gospel obedience, be baptized for remission of sins, and become God's children. Enjoy this new birth. Have this new beginning. I wish more people in the world would do that. And don't we all? But do you know, for those of us already Christians, we can start all over again too. And it doesn't take the turning of a calendar page. It doesn't take a certain type or time of years' events. All it requires is a decision made. And I'll use a word that we bandy around a lot these days, and this time of year especially, but with purpose. It takes a resolution. here in the text we just read a moment ago from Ephesians chapter 5. Paul tells those Ephesian brethren, wake up, you who are sleeping. Arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. He goes on to say, redeeming the time, because these days are evil. Well, those days were, and our days are as well. And what should we be as Christians? Living lives of contrast to that, as children of light, living for the Lord in all we do, in all we say, in our attitude, in our behavior, in our decisions day by day. We should be walking, talking testaments of the Lord and examples of Jesus Christ in our lives. And as I say that, considering things like the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, the definition of what love looks like in 1 Corinthians 13, all of us can think the same thing. Well, I'm not doing the best job I could be doing of that. But you know, one of these days I'll do better. One of these days, when I get around to it, I'll do better. But I've got a lot going on right now. I've got problems I'm dealing with right now. I haven't got time to really focus on the Christian life right now. I've got to live my real life. Which that mindset is the whole problem. Your real life is your Christian life, and your Christian life is the only real life you have. If there's any part of your life that Christianity has not found itself a part of, you shouldn't have that part of your life. There's no nook or cranny of your behaviors, of your relationships, of your interactions with people that should not be imbued with the grace of God and the example of Christ. There is no time off from being a Christian. And having realized that, we sometimes say, yes, I will, but. I should, but. Maybe someday, but. And here the excuses start to come. Oh, I need to spend more time every day in prayer. I know I should, but, you know. I know I should spend some time in reading and studying and poring over and meditating upon the truths of God's Word, but I'm a busy person, you know. I should be kinder to the people I know. I should be nicer to family and even strangers. And have you noticed sometimes it's a lot easier to be kind to a stranger than to those you're supposedly loving most? I don't know why that is, but so often it's the case. But I'd do better about this if I just had more time to get it done. And the point of Scripture is this. Just as the new life begins at gospel obedience, that's when sins are washed away. All through the Christian life, sins continually are washed clean as we walk in the light. Those are John's words in 1 John chapter 1. As we continue confessing our sinfulness, as John says in that same first chapter. Which means that having become a Christian then, and failing, missing the mark, all it takes is a moment's decision and resolve to do better. To ask the Lord's forgiveness, to ask the Lord's help, and to dig my heels in and do my best to be my best. And I use that word resolve on purpose. Do you know why most New Year's resolutions are not kept? It's because they weren't resolved in the first place. They were more wishes than resolves. They were more desires than resolutions. And we just use the word resolution. When you, in resolute determination, decide to do something, you're going to do it. Now, when you say I should, you probably won't. When you say I might, most likely you'll never get started. When you say I probably will, you may start and never finish. But when you, with resolute determination and grit, say I'm going to do this thing, and it's resolved in your mind, you do it. You keep working at it, and you keep on keeping on, because that's what a resolution is. I am resolved no longer to linger. That has to do with those becoming Christians, but it also has to do with us as we live in Christ, resolving every day to be better versions of ourselves. Now, that's true as much in June as in January. But since we're here almost in January, it's a good time to remind us all of the fact. If you want to be a better version of yourself, don't start next week or next month or next year or whenever. You start with a decision right now. And I promise you, you add one day's decision to the next and the next over a month, a course of months to a year, you'll find yourself over time becoming more of what God wants you to be. More like Christ, shining more as a light in this world of darkness, more what God intends for you to be in this world. A new beginning starts now. My friend, if you're with us this morning and not a Christian, this is the time to start the Christian life, right now. Obey the gospel. Perhaps you've walked away and need in some public way to make it known to God and everyone here, I'm starting over again. This is the time. But if you need to come, come now, as together we stand and sing.